This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 337 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Rain Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stabbing.
Bill Harris.
And Melissa McDowell.
I love how we all lean in for our introductions.
Oh, yes.
No, it's not necessary. I love it.
Nope. I have to address that we are being addressed to the Americans at a 25% tariff right now.
Oh, yeah, because it comes into effect tomorrow, apparently.
Yes, we've expanded it to include our show.
25% of free is still zero, so it's okay.
Hey, it just, all we need is it to look impressive, okay?
That's right.
We don't need reality to set. Clearly, if we know world events, we don't need actual reality to set in and show us anything on paper.
Damn it, Marina, is Steve getting paid?
Listen, oh, if Steve's getting paid, I don't know from what piggy bank, because I'm not getting paid either. So
not yet.
We need that lucrative soju endorsement.
Yes.
Brought to you by soju.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we need.
In about 20 minutes, Marina's going to be reading a Squarespace ad.
I love it. I'll do the Audible one.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh my. I did discover the other day in passing that I get audiobooks with my Spotify account. Mm-hmm. So I've stopped listening to music, and all I listen to now are audiobooks on my commute. It's kind of amazing.
It's not bad.
The Britney Spears book is actually really good because Michelle Williams is amazing. That's my plug. A book that's a year and a half.
This is going to sound really nerdy, but the last audiobook I listened to is because I couldn't read the book. The book was just killing me. Any of you ever read Infinite Jest?
Oh, no. Shit. No. David Foster Wallace?
Yeah. The book is just really hard to read, and I just couldn't comprehend it for some reason. It was screwing with my brain. He's just a really awesome writer, and it's just, I'm not used to it. I don't know what the hell was going on, but I listened to the audiobook and it all just clicked.
Mm-hmm. The most infinite jest is the fact that you can bludgeon somebody to death with infinite jest.
Yes. It's over like 1,100 pages.
It's huge. It's huge. The first time I actually really kind of, I'm just not an intellectual, was kind of found out about David Foster Wallace was watching the End of the Tour movie with Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg. And that's how I discovered him.
Yeah.
It's a little too highbrow for me. The book that I still to this day have read, but cannot, I read it twice. Do I understand it? No. I don't think I ever will. Canticle for Leibowitz. Never in my life will I understand the full meaning of that book, even though I've read it twice at this point.
Just for the record, I don't understand Twilight. Fuck that shit.
Oh, wow. It's so highbrow for you, Bill.
It's so funny that was a just for the record thing. I'm pretty sure we state this on every third or fourth episode.
Yeah.
I did tell Dan that if the Twilight Lego set goes on sale, that bitch is mine. I refuse to pay $190 for it, but if it goes on sale, I want it because it looks pretty awesome.
I shouldn't laugh, but if I turn my camera, there's a Lego Death Star over there. Uh-huh. So I shouldn't talk.
What is the Twilight Lego set?
Oh my gosh.
Like the Cullen House?
It is the Cullen House.
Okay.
With like modular bits that you can actually like take the roof off and see Edward's room. It's kind of
with
amazing.
No bed.
With no bed, but it comes with all of the Cullens.
Oh my God.
And it comes with Bella and with Jacob. And a werewolf.
Oh boy.
And Edward, his face sparkles.
Oh. I was gonna say, is the Lego all covered in sparkle?
Probably.
It is so glorious. They had it on display at the Lego store at Guildford Mall, and I was like beside myself.
Sounds like at least $200.
Yep.
It is. It's $189. Oh my God. That's why I have not bought it.
You know what? You know what? Bella, that sounds loco, Wera. Sounds local.
But I had this, like, this other lady and I had this moment talking to the Lego guy there who had built the thing. And we were like, he's telling us all the things. And we're like, oh, my God, this is so great. Neither of us bought it. It's a little too rich for everyone's blood. But I said to Dan, because he monitors the Lego situation, like, if this thing goes on sale, I want to know because I will buy it. Reasonably speaking. But okay, I'm already way off track. I am so sorry. We're 10 minutes in and we're talking about Lego Twilight.
Does it come with that androgynous blonde vampire dude with the, I forget his name,
Peter Facinelli?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think
his name is Daddy Vampire. Daddy Cullen.
I actually think it does. I actually think it does because it comes with all the Cullens. So yeah.
Oh, Jesus, Marina, you win. I don't get this.
You don't have to get it.
It's not for you. It was never for you, Bill.
Yeah, it was never
for you. My favorite thing about the final movie is you have this huge, crazy action sequence. And this is why I'll never forgive this movie. You have a just wild action sequence, heads being torn off, all this stuff. And then it turns out none of it's real. It was just Alice holding that motherfucker's head, being like, that's what will happen to you. I went literally audibly in the theater. I went, fuck you. Have we learned nothing?
I obviously haven't read the book, so I didn't know this. But when she said the word Renesmee, yeah. I fell out of my chair.
That was it for me too, Bill.
That's the worst looking fake baby I've ever. That's the worst looking fake baby I've ever seen, and I've watched American Sniper twice.
Listen, wow, so it wasn't twice. It wasn't the fact that Jacob, a full grown man, imprints on a baby. It was the fact that her name is Renesmee.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you guys. Okay. Yeah. Let's move beyond Twilight.
I'm going to eat this baby out of you.
Oh,
what?
That is a thing. Yeah.
A little too magic underwear for me on that one.
Yeah.
That might be the greatest discussion of all time, guys.
Dissecting the last two movies of Twilight.
They're terrible. What do you mean?
All of a sudden it turned into Titane or something like that. Like, what the hell happened there?
The order of quality of those movies. The order of quality of those movies is Twilight, Eclipse, Breaking Dawn Part 2, Part 1, and New Moon, which is the worst of the bunch. And I will
take
die
that
on that.
Paul Wheats, take that, or is it Chris Wheats? Take that, Wheats.
Yeah,
one of you,
Chris. Yeah, it's terrible.
an American Werewolf in the Pacific Northwest.
No. Okay. Let us truly move on from Twilight. I'm not even sure how we ended up here. It's my fault.
Did Twilight win an Oscar?
I don't think Marina's ever going to move on from Twilight.
I'm never going to move on from Twilight. Let's be honest. I had a conversation about Twilight in LA this weekend. I had a conversation about Twilight today at work. Twilight will always be with me.
You should stop wearing that shirt. Ask me about Twilight.
Oh, yeah. I have a button, dude.
Oh, right. At least you downgraded. The jacket and the jacket and shirt combo were a little too much.
I should just wear my Twilight earrings. Ask me about my Twilight earrings. Oh, okay. No, Twilight didn't win an Oscar.
No, never will, hopefully.
Best special effects? Sure.
I doubt that. But we are recording the day after the Oscars. Two of us watched the Oscars, two of us did not.
I have a bunch of notes. I wrote notes.
What?
Holy
you have notes?
I wrote down all the like pertinent categories so we could like go through them and give our thoughts.
All right. Okay, nerd. All right. Go off.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm turning over a new leaf. Like, I'm just a different person on podcast now. I don't quite get it either. First category, documentary. No Other Land. A film without distribution.
Has anybody seen it?
I have.
It better get distribution now.
It's good. It's really good.
I love that the award was given while Gal Gadot was in the building.
There was a petition to have her removed from the Oscar award ceremony, which apparently they completely ignored.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. How many signatures did it get?
I don't know. I don't know. It was the BDS movement and Jews for Peace, I think, were both signatories.
Okay, so this explains the quiet in the building when she came out with
Rachel Zegler.
Yeah. Who, I mean, they're there to promote Snow White, which is out at the end of this month. So that makes sense. But yeah, it's a little
tone deaf.
Yeah, it's a little
very. Yeah.
What did they present? Gal Gadot and
I don't know. I don't Rachel remember. Zegler.
Wasn't it a documentary?
I think it was for one of the short.
Something like that.
Okay, because if it was, if she was presenting the award for No Other Land, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that Bill's right. I think it was one of the short categories. I think it was a documentary short or the live action short or something.
Just out of curiosity, how many people actually saw like more than two of these docs?
I watched one.
Availability was a tough thing for some of them. No Other Land was very tough to find.
Yeah,
so I mean, even get anyone to give it to me.
I think the only ones that were like easily accessible were Sugarcane. Yes, which is on
Disney Plus. Yeah,
and I don't actually know where Black Box Diaries is available, but
Paramount.
Okay,
yeah,
I knew I'd seen it on one of the streamers.
Originally, it was sent as one of the Hot Docs links for me. So, and I had no idea if it was going to get a distribution or anything. So I saw that the Superman was the other one, right? Was Superman Christopher Reeves, what that one was nominated? Okay.
No.
So
the other ones are Porcelain War, No Other Land, and there was another war documentary, the name of which escapes me.
I don't even think Porcelain War was one that I had access to either.
Well, Porcelain War was a VIF, I think, but I didn't see it.
So
yeah, Black Box Diaries was the best of the ones that I saw.
Oh, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat was the other one.
Also really good.
Really good, but also feels like a lesson at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to digest probably on a wider scope. So after watching that, and it is, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think.
Yep.
So after I watched it, I'm like, good movie. That's not going to win though.
No,
not a chance. Though it is kind of like darkly funny in spots.
It is. Yeah.
It's like CIA being obsessed with poisoning people and making these wild fucking elaborate plans that are almost like Rube Goldberg traps for people. It's just fucking weird. It's so weird.
What's the other category you got like noted there?
Oh, I got a few, animated.
Yeah, Flow.
Wild Robot did not win.
No, Flo, I am both
disappointed and excited.
Yeah, I'm happy my number three movie of last year won animated. Flow is awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And support local, not a local, indie film, like animation style. Like this
support
is, like,
Latvia.
About as indie as it gets for animation. Like he's, how many people made that film? Like
Seven? And,
yeah, like yeah. It's...
Yeah.
Awesome.
And four of them were there.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's actually pretty funny. So I had emailed Gintz last week because I'm like, I'm going to be in LA. I'm sure you're going to be in LA. Can we connect? And it didn't work out. And I still kick myself. I should have flown out earlier on Friday.
Yeah, he was busy.
I could have gone for late night French fries, dude. talking yeah. about
probably international was really good this year. There were some pretty damn good films, and probably the worst of them won. I'm Still Here, a good film. I just think Flo should have won.
I think the award went to the right person.
I agree.
Salas
is a really good director. I have no problem with that. He made some pretty good movies. So visual effects went to Dune 2, which is bullshit because Better Man should have won.
So when I did my prognostication, I went with the tie that I thought would take it just because it's the one that had all the buzz. But I had gone to a Visual Effects Society event then like the week before or the night before, a couple of nights before. And I'd asked a bunch of people like, who would you vote for? Or who did you vote for? Cause some of those people are in the Academy, like Better Man all the way. And it still didn't win. Weta still didn't win, which is really disappointing.
It's because nobody saw it.
To make matters worse. I can't remember the guy that talked first. Goes and thanks like the second company out of his mouth. He thanks NPC, which literally just closed its offices on Monday. of last week. They literally, Technicolor literally went bankrupt on Friday. And by Monday, they were quite, like, I'm not even exaggerating. The offices across the world were closed
on Monday. That's crazy.
Like, everybody was sent home without a pay. Like, some people didn't even get paid for the last 2 weeks of work.
Holy shit.
That's how bad it is.
That's horrible.
I'm like, dude, read the room. Like, this is bad taste. Clearly, he was reading a piece of paper and too nervous to think. He should have really edited his speech beforehand.
I'm saying bad things. I'm not saying bad things about Dune 2. That movie is incredible. But like, just watch better, man. It's 30 seconds in. You understand.
I'm not disappointed for Dune Part 2 to win any awards. Definitely not. Yeah. But this category I thought was the fucking lock for better, man.
Yeah.
This was the slam dunk. I mean, people are going to be really embarrassed when they see what work went into this film.
And plus, like,
full featurettes.
If Better Man doesn't win, doesn't Planet of the Apes win?
Yeah. Both movies are almost fully CG.
Yeah. Like, Planet of the Apes is, it's not the best Planet of the Apes movie. It's awesome looking.
It's gorgeous. It's flawless. Yeah. I've watched it twice in its entirety, and it's really, like, incredible looking. It is a work of art.
Yeah.
My feeling is that, you know, people think, oh, sci-fi, that's going to win.
That is just, it just shows how much the Academy, the voting body is just phoning this award in then.
Yeah, yeah, in some instances, including this one, I think you're totally right. There's no understanding of what actually, like, technically goes into making some of this stuff.
I mean, like we said, Dune's great.
The sandworm, the sandworm stuff was really fucking impressive in Dune 2.
Oh yeah,
like, I can see why people would vote for it. I can see why, if you know a lot about animation and you've seen all the nominees, then you might go Better Man or Planet of the Apes, but. For, like, the majority of people watching films, like, the sequences with the sandworms are fucking magical in Dune 2. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea how he was going to pull that off. And it really does look really realistic.
Makeup and hair went to The Substance.
Good.
Yeah.
That shit was incredible. Especially the fact that both Demi and Margaret's nudity is makeup. And prosthetics too.
Yeah, it's like, amazing.
When was the last time that they had to do an entire, like, entire woman's body and make it look fucking real? Like, Margaret Qualley looks like pure perfection, right? So,
plus the last half hour is a little cool.
Did they show? Because I didn't get to see it. Did they show any of that in the actual makeup reel? No. Come on, especially like Demi screaming out of.
The opening bit was Conan and the Substance, and it was pretty funny.
Nice. Well, that's good. I'll accept that.
And then Sean Baker won editing, and I was like, oh shit, Honora's gonna win.
Yeah,
that's one of the pillars, right?
Yeah,
you knock down that, you knock down screenplay, you knock down director, you got best picture.
Yeah, you know, pretty awesome. Original song, who cares?
Who gives a fuck? Honestly, as long as Diane Warren didn't win it,
she
looked so fucking. She looked like she got fucking assassinated when they were showing her backstage.
L Mall from. the really not musically good Honora Perez. It's just like it's the worst part of the film, and it won the Oscar.
Isn't that the really bad, like, the trans song that's like offensive to trans people?
No, it's the Zoe Saldana
one at the beginning when she's talking.
It's actually the only decent song in the whole movie.
I agree. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Fair. I don't know what else in that category I would have. Cared to
quite winning. Honestly, I think they really fucked up both music and score this year as far as like the selections. Yeah. I don't think that the best songs or the best soundtracks are like
here. Cough Reznor Ross cough.
Yeah, well, is Challengers or well, Queer?
No, not Come just on. That. I mean, my feel like I the Brutalist is like it's a really great theme. But it's literally one theme that's really good. I honestly, the Wild Robot, I thought was a better score.
I don't even know why Brutalist is in that category, because it's that was nowhere near anything memorable for me for that film.
No, but hey, it won.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess I'll just say that the Brutalist won original score because Maria brought it up.
I didn't even get it.
And then it won cinematography,
which is also a bit surprising, but.
It's an awesome looking film.
Okay with it.
Yeah.
I just really wanted Nickel Boys to take cinematography.
Yeah.
Me too.
Wasn't even nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Just terrible. Because in terms of visual storytelling, they did cinematography that really contributed to the actual telling of the story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Nickel Boys got robbed from the entire awards.
Yeah.
This whole award season, like, I don't know why it didn't end up on anybody's radar, because it absolutely should have. It was definitely the best movie of last year.
Yeah, I finally got to see it theatrically last week. You know, it only opened in December. And I don't know how it's possible, but I think it might have actually got better. Like, it's just that movie. It's incredible. Adapted screenplay, Conclave? Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
Good movie. Other stuff I like more, but
it really feels like they had to give it something. I'm still bitter about Adrian Brody, so let's not get started on that because I might lose my mind. Not deserving. I'm sorry. He was not the best actor of last year, and his speech drove me bananas. His speech
was awful.
It was horrible.
It was awful.
Damn it, Marina, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
I have categories.
I'm sorry. Okay.
But for Adapted to elevate Conclave over Complete Unknown or Sing Sing or Nickel Boys, in my point of view, is
just
kind of fucked
Nickel
up.
Boys should have won that, is my feeling.
And for Brutalist to win over, in my opinion, Maria is wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, original screenplay went to Anora, which
I'm okay with that.
I agree with.
I'm okay with that. Either that or A Real Pain are honestly my picks for a screenplay. Though I did see September 5 pretty recently. Fuck, that movie's tight.
Yeah. Right?
Tight and so well done. Oh, just so goddamn well.
Yeah, that deserved more attention. I was really impressed by how good that was.
Yeah.
And Sean Baker wins for director.
Good, because the message, awesome.
Yeah,
the message that he delivered, is beautiful. Cora Lee will be in that category, I think, again. She was the only other one, maybe Brady, but she was the only other one that I was like excited for.
Yeah, his speech was kind of an all-timer. He just went for it and just said, look, we got to keep movies in theaters and not put them on VOD in 14 days. It's just killing everything. And it's completely true.
To be honest, every time Sean came up to grab an award, I think that he took it as an opportunity, because when am I going to be here again? Do you think he becomes an Oscar darling from here on out?
I mean, I think that my overall feeling about the show was that the Voting Academy, the new membership of the Voting Academy, has actually made an impact and changed the trajectory of the Oscars for the next few years. Because for the last, I mean, I'd have to look at the list, because I haven't looked at it actually at the numbers. But my general feeling is that the last, say, 6 or 7 years have been skewing very much to popularity and what's in right now when trying to attract audiences, and it hasn't worked. This year's nominees and winners clearly are from a voting body that is more interested in the art than in box office. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if that's necessarily also a good thing, because I think then you overlook certain titles that maybe should have had some more attention. And there's a tendency to pick indie just because it's indie rather than quality. Mm-hmm. So I think any way you skew it, you can go too far in another direction. But I am optimistic that it's moving into a direction of, quality over whatever's popular, which I think is great for the art form as a whole. I don't think that Sean's speech is going to change anything, because the studios are about the money. And it doesn't matter. Like, at some point, the studios will stop worrying about winning Oscars. I don't think they ever will stop worrying about winning Oscars. But maybe we're going to go back to the auteur area. Maybe the studios are finally going to stop pumping $300 million into making a fucking Marvel movie and split some of that money up to make some like new interesting films. But I doubt it. Because at the end of the day, they still want eyeballs and they still want dollars. And what's going to bring them eyeballs and dollars? Streaming. But I don't think it's the last time we're going to see. Now that people have discovered some of these artists, I don't think it's the last time we're going to see them.
Well, I mean, if the neon relationship continues and it continues in a good way, then yeah, we'll probably see them up on the stage again. And I, because after A24 just fucking shafted him with Red Rocket, he ain't going back.
No, probably not.
So,
but I mean,
hopefully, just Neon gets bigger and bigger as a studio. And
well, I mean, at the end of the day, the thing that I thought was great is that. I mean, you look at the movies that won big, you know, you look at Flow, which was a big upset, I think, from an outsider's perspective, which was made for, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 3 million euros, if that. I don't even think they had that much money. Nora was made for $6 million. Like, you look at some of those other movies. I mean, I'm sure The Substance wasn't made for that much more money. Brady Corbett has talked about how little money he had to make The Brutalist. So the fact that you had an over proportionate number of films that were made for, like, say, under $50 million is a wake up call to Hollywood. Like, you're doing this shit wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
plus most of the people who go to the theater now are older.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And people want to see movies like Anora or The Brutalist.
Do they, though? I disagree. I don't think the people want to see those movies. I think people want to go to the movie theater to forget about whatever's going on in their life. And they don't want to watch The Brutalist and they don't want to watch an Anora. They want to see some, you know, feel good or some like over the top action movie or a really crazy horror movie.
I know, but I saw, as an example, I saw Captain America on opening day and there was three people there, but I saw The Brutalist on the opening day and it was sold out. So,
you know. You're in a better city than I, sir.
Victoria is also very super artsy.
Sure, because I live here. God damn it.
Yeah. Of course, you're the king of Canadian cinema.
Of course.
Where else would you be?
The Brutalist, the biggest Canadian film of last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I did think, like, overall, the show was still too long. Conan was okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of his, so I can't say one way or the other. I thought some of the bits were funnier than others. The best bit of the entire night was actually two, I think. I thought that the Adam Sandler bit was hilarious because it's totally true. Like, white guys have a tendency of showing up at awards shows looking like fucking slobs. It's like, come on, dude, get a grip. And then the Ben Stiller bit was by far the highlight of the night.
I liked the disappointed John Lithgow. I thought
that was very funny too. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. That was also quite good. Commitment.
The costume one too, or as like you got, we in the group chat, we decided that was cringe and we didn't want to do it.
That was
and
really funny.
And then John Lithgow's like, Bowen, cringe. He's like, A2 Lithgow. We're best friends. We just met, Bowen.
I actually really like that style of presenting where they like clearly had like given them some notes. Because some people read the notes and some people obviously riffed off the notes. And I thought that presentation style was actually really interesting. And I thought that was kind of fun. Overall, I thought it was still too long, but it was not overall, it was better than most years. I like that they cut the musical numbers, though they still had useless musical numbers. How the fuck do you have a 007 tribute and you don't announce the new fucking Bond? Like, talk about a missed fucking opportunity. So I said to Dan, oh my God, shambles. They're going to announce Bond. And then they didn't. And I'm like, what are you doing?
And there let's isn't face even the reality, a
Bond movie this year. Like, what was the point of this?
Let's face the reality. The James Bond franchise is in fucking shambles right now.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
Absolutely shambles. The Broccoli's have walked away. Barbara Broccoli has walked away. Everybody that had anything to do with the Bond movies has completely walked away. This IP is all in the hands of Amazon, who has no fucking clue what they're going to do with it. It's going to be terrible, whatever it's going to be.
I disagree. I think that, I mean, Barbara has been trying to unload Bond for years because she's old. Like, she knows she can't keep this going and nobody else in the family wants it. So, like, somebody was going to have to take over the reins. I don't think it's totally done for, but if they don't bring the right person on to do it, it's going to go sideways.
If that's true, then she wouldn't have come into that meeting with Amazon with her nose in the air and basically ready to shoot down everybody's fucking ideas. If she wanted somebody to take hold of Bond and run with it, she would have poo-pooed and fucking stormed out of the boardroom. Nothing's adding up. It's not adding up.
They should have done like a Bond thing and then cut to Andrew Garfield and he winks at the camera.
And then it's not him. He just puts on glasses and he gets his smart guy rizz again.
I wouldn't care. All Dan said about that number was they couldn't get Adele.
Yeah, no doubt.
I was like, wait, it's Lisa.
Ah, they got Mick Jagger instead.
What's going on? Oh, the Mick Jagger bit was really funny too.
It was good. Yeah.
I'm rolling with Stan Stevens as Bond.
Me too, actually. That'd be sweet. Speaking of going long, this bit, there's still five more categories. supporting actor and supporting actress were complete locks. Everybody knew who was going to win. Kieran Culkin and Zoe Saldana.
I'm okay with Kieran. I do pretty much like everybody in that category, though.
Yeah.
It's a very Jeremy Strong category. Felicity Jones or Monica Barrera were my... who in my heart I would have picked.
Yeah, I would pick Monica Barrera.
Isabella Rossellini is really great in Conclave, but really she's like the William Hurt in A History of Violence of that film. Like, she's 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love Issa a lot, but I don't know.
And she wore a blue velvet dress.
She did.
Which was amazing.
That's okay. David Lynch got a blip on the In Memoriam and that's it.
That got more than Tony Todd did.
Did he even get that? Or Michelle Trachtenberg. Come on, she was Ice Princess.
Fumi passed away last week on Sunday. I guess the week before the Oscars. She is a longtime publicist. I knew Fumi really well, and it was really, really hard when she died. And I was shocked to see her name up on screen. So I did reach out to some friends, and I know who put that name up there. And I actually cried. It's the only time I've ever cried during the In Memoriam. But it was really hard to see that because she literally just passed away.
I got kind of choked up when Morgan Freeman came out and started talking about Gene Hackman.
Mm.
That was tough.
That story is so weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a wild one for sure. There's some strangeness there. Yeah.
And now we get to the most controversial award of the night, according to Marina, Adrian Brody for Best Actor.
Fuck that guy. I'm sorry. No.
It should have been Tim.
No. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
It should be Ralph Fiennes, guys. They already fucked him once. Like,
I know.
Did you guys see the all of the stupid magazines do they ask people to share their votes, and everybody's like, but he's already won.
No, he didn't. He lost.
The fact that so many people think he's won an Oscar is shocking. I'm like, just give the man a fucking Oscar already.
He should have won for Schindler's List.
He should have won for Schindler's
People
List.
People think that he did.
But Conclave is not the gimme award for him to win, I don't think.
No.
Also, I got swayed a little bit a couple of weeks before because I read some excerpts out of Alex Kingston's book. And I'm on this train and now fuck Ralph Fiennes. But because he's a fucking piece of shit of a human being. Read up on how each one of his marriages have ended. Okay. Oh. That's all I'm going to say about that one. And he gaslit and made Alex Kingston basically go insane 2 years before their marriage ended by gaslighting her. He's very much a womanizer and a turn and burn womanizer, if that makes any sense.
This is new information.
No kidding. Yeah.
I just Google him and Alex Kingston, really just as a start, because then he married the one that he cheated on her with and then cheated on that one with the next lady. Like, he doesn't have an ability to put closure, and then he puts it all on them.
Nice.
So I don't like that. I don't like that. Like, especially when you find out, you're like, oh, Ralph Fiennes is amazing. And then someone's like, oh, did you see this? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, all of our heroes are getting taken down, man.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't say he's my hero.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I like either Timmy or Sebastian Stan out of those nominations.
I liked Adrian Brody.
I think it's okay to like Adrian Brody. It's a hell of a performance.
A hell of a performance.
They just shouldn't have let him speak, is the problem. He's only good when he's reading dialogue that's been written by someone else.
What happened with the speech? I didn't even see any of it.
It went on for five minutes.
No. It went on for 45 minutes.
It felt like it.
Like they tried to play him off and he told him to shut up and turn the music off. And then it kept on going for 5 minutes.
To me, that felt like when some actors or when some people do that, when they kind of like talk through, like you feel like...
You're cheering them on.
Yeah.
Get all their thank yous out.
Yeah.
And he shouted down the band and then basically proceeded to say nothing for the next 5 minutes.
This is the problem. And the thing is, like, what did you do with your first win? Like, you had a career that was primed to be the next big thing and you squandered it all away. Like, I don't even know what happened. Like, he made a bunch of really shitty movies, one after the next, after the next, after the next. I'm not convinced he's actually a great actor. I think he's, you know, with the right material, he's not bad, but I don't think he comes, like, he just doesn't deliver all the time. Most of his credits are crap.
I was waiting for him to like thank Kevin Smith. Like, it just went on forever.
Yeah. it's like he's picked up with Harvey Weinstein's ex. Mm-hmm. He's shouting out their kids.
Yeah.
And it was just weird. It was just the whole speech was just weird and uncomfortable. He tried to make some kind of like really like soft-toed political statement about how we all just need to live together or some bullshit. And the whole thing was uncomfortable and ridiculous.
Dan said it was cringe.
It was. It was super cringe. And I think the reason the guy has had gaps in his career is because he's a dick.
Yeah.
I can see that. Popsy is a dick.
Yeah.
That's what Harvey's Weinstein's kids call him, is Popsy.
Yeah.
I was finding that out.
And then, and maybe the upset of the night, other than Flo winning animated, Mikey Madison beat Demi Moore, which I did not think was going to happen, but it actually happened.
I thought Fernando would have been the lock in that one, to be honest.
Really?
I did. I love Demi, but I kind of felt that was Fernando's to win, besides Mikey. Mikey was the only other person that I think was close to grabbing that ring. Because Carla's not getting it.
Nope.
And Cynthia, all of Wicked is just there to hold a place.
Don't you think this comes back to what Marina was talking about, though, that we've changed the makeup of the Academy and the way that they're voting is different now? Because in any year, like if you went back 10 years, this would have been Demi Moore in a second.
Wouldn't
have anything to do with the substance, actually.
It would just be to award Demi Moore.
It's her turn. It's her turn. She's paid her dues. She should get the award. And I feel like a lot of people still feel that way. Because, I mean, that's the way the Oscars always kind of ran, right? Yeah, like people wouldn't get it in the year that they should get it. But then they would get it eventually for some lesser work.
I hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, then why doesn't Sam Jackson or David Fincher have an Oscar?
Yeah, that's true.
If you're gonna keep on doing this kind of stuff, like at least play ball every time. Don't just hand it out once in a while.
Do you, yeah. Do you know what really makes me happy about Mikey winning this award? First off, that she thanks sex workers and stuff like that, and is helping, which is going to get twisted on her for sure.
It already is.
Yeah, but the fact that I don't think this is going to change her trajectory of what she wants to do with her career and life. Like, this isn't going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to totally change the person I am when I'm making movies. Like, I still see her making the same choices in her career that she was going to anyway, whether she won the Oscar or not. There's something about Mikey Madison as a talent that I don't see this tarnishing her. And I don't see her kind of like disappearing. Like, remember when Jennifer Hudson won for Best Supporting Actress for Dreamgirls? And then it was just like, well, that's it. Yep. You know, she's
but I mean,
like,
that was always
have this talk show and whatever. Yeah, I mean,
that was always an oddity.
Sex in the City. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I forgot to recognize how huge that is.
you're not a straight white woman, damn it.
Fair enough. That's my shortcomings. Listen to call them all out.
Yeah. And then Nickel Boys won Best Picture.
Oh, in your dream.
I love Anora.
Yeah, but, me too.
And I'm happy Sean Baker won. It was so awesome seeing him with four Oscars in his hands, like tied Walt Disney for the most ever by a single person. That's pretty awesome.
I was pumped to see Samantha Kwan up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As part of this. This is so incredible for both of them. Like, this is such, like, just like a crazy huge deal. Like, I've seen a lot of interviews with Samantha Kwan and everything, just kind of like trying to contextualize this whole wild ride that Anora's brought them on. Because, I mean, they've been making stuff for a long time. And Sean Baker used to be a fucking junkie. Like, there is just such win in this thing that I really love the story at the heart of it, even though in the next month or so, it's going to get bastardized and made to look ugly. Because
it already started. I saw more than one news story this morning.
Oh, holy weird and all this sexual Hollywood bullshit. Yeah.
I mean, it was going to happen regardless, but I think overall, his career has been going in this direction for a long time. Like, it's not like he's decided to make this movie and it's an oddity out of his career. Like, these are the people that he's been talking to and telling stories of for like decades. So, I don't feel weird about it, but other people, I guess, do. I don't know.
No, I mean, I wish he had won for Florida Project. I think, I think that's the better film. I would never be unhappy seeing him and Sammy up there taking awards for the films that they make, because they tell important stories. They tell good stories about people who are really marginalized. Their films always have a class consciousness to them, which I think is missing from a lot of mainstream art these days. Mm-hmm. It was good to see them win, but I wish I was really pulling for the Florida Project.
I have a cool Sean Baker story. I have another podcast called The Green Screen of Death, and my partner Adrian sometimes shows up for VIFF, which is our main festival. And we were at the Rio, we're just hanging out, and this guy walks by. I'm like, hey, Sean. He's like, hey, Bill. And keeps on walking. Adrian's like, who the hell's that? I'm like, well, that's Sean Baker. He's like, the fuck he is? That's not Sean Baker. I'm like, dude, that's Sean Baker. He comes to this festival. He's a regular.
It's like, I still have yet to meet him. So
you're like, on you're lying to me right now. I'm like, I'm actually not. He's like a regular at VIFF. He shows up and just watches movies. And he's just like, I still don't believe you. And then like I like Googled Sean Baker and showed him a photo. He's just like, oh shit. Okay.
Well, I told Dan after he won his first Oscar, I'm like, that's probably the last time we were going to see Sean at VIFF.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that we know a multiple Oscar winner who used to come to our main festival as a regular film goer. That's pretty cool.
But his wife is from here. So I don't think it's the last time we'll see him.
No, I don't think, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. They've got a lot of family connections here, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him around some more. But he's a lovely human.
I'm still sad because at one point they were talking about doing a film based in the Downtown East Side, and then I don't think that ever went anywhere. But I know they were looking at that for a while. So I don't know if it's still on their active project lists or whatever, but I would love to see it if they did it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it is still there, because it definitely is in their wheelhouse of material. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you've only got $6 million to work with.
Yeah.
Dope. You do what you can. You do what you can.
So that's the Oscars. Yeah.
You know. I think we went as long as the Oscars did.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to say that Emilia Perez and Wicked were absolute placeholders that could have been occupied by other better films.
Yeah, I'd be glad to never talk about those films again, actually.
And that starts now.
Mm-hmm. I have no more material now. We killed all my material. More Twilight jokes. More Twilight jokes.
No jokes. Back no to
the
jokes.
Well. Back to the well.
No more well Twilight
of,
jokes.
The well of Pacific Northwest. Forks, to be exact.
No, That's right. Forks, Washington, baby.
The North Bend.
Actually, let us talk about the Pacific Northwest and the fact that the monkey was shot here, which is fabulous. Yes.
Maple Ridge and Vancouver areas.
Yeah. Can I just say we're rocking it in the horror genre? Like, okay, the monkey, Heretic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all of Mike Flanagan's TV series.
Yep.
Yep.
That's right.
It's like, the light.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
I actually had this discussion, so I didn't realize. I think in the back of my mind, I knew because I think he posted about it, but I had not put two and two together. So the special effects are done by a guy that I know. So I messaged Chris. I'm like, dude, because he also worked on Heretic, and he also did some work on the other Osgood Perkins movie from last year.
Long Legs.
So he worked on all three. And I'm like, nice. Dude, what is it with, you know, us and horror movies? And he's like, it's the light, man. Mm-hmm. It's the mm-hmm. light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The gloom.
It is the light. The light here is amazing for horror. So.
And genre directors fall in love with it, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, Woods and Beck and Woods are going to come back and film a film here, for sure. And Osgood loves Vancouver, so.
Yeah,
he'll definitely be.
Well, doing and Vancouver loves Osgood.
Yes, we made sure he knew that at the VIF thing, and that's partially why I was so excited for the monkey. Is like how like giddy he was about this film. Like he's like, you guys have no idea the fun I'm having making this movie, and you can tell in this the product that comes out of this movie
is so fucking great.
I cackled through like most of it.
Even the girl jumping into the pool, like it's so stupid, but it's like, fuck, that's hilarious.
This movie,
the land
like,
flying.
If you ever watched the Final Destination series and thought, man, I wish there were more jokes in this movie,
this is
the movie for you.
So fucking good. Even the aunt's death, like how Looney Tunes, like her head's on fire and then she steps into a vase and slides into that real estate post. Like that's insane.
Sarah, I thought that was hilarious. Like because you think something is going to happen when she goes down the stairs. Okay, spoiler alert. And then she comes up the stairs and falls into that box. And you're like, oh my God, she fell into a box and died. And then she pops up and I'm like, yes, I love the comedy moments in this movie. This is amazing.
It's so funny. And I started enjoying Theo James more in The Gentleman, but fuck, I became a fan of him in this one because there is just some timing in the deadpanness of this movie that just kill me. Just absolutely kill me in this film.
Welcome to the fan club. By the way, a few years too late, but
for sure. Well, I wasn't going to get into it during the Allegiant films. Come on.
Oh, come
that was
on.
Not the time. Though, if you watch my episode a couple of weeks ago, Chloe says that she is a big fan of Theo James from those movies. And it was when he said to Shailene Woodley, "What makes you think you could talk to me?" was the moment. So I superimposed that over top of her saying it. So she could have that moment.
He was the best part of the. I love Shailene Woodley, but he was by far. Four was by far the best part.
He was the only good thing about those movies.
Yes, he was.
But
he's also in a BBC, I think it's Santa Town. And he's very handsome.
Can we also, for a minute, just shout out Regina's pride and joy, Miss Tatiana Maslany?
Maslany, who is amazing.
So, okay. Yep. The accepting death scene is fucking hysterical. Yep.
My favorite is the car when she's like drinking her, she's sipping off of her Coke or whatever, and she's talking to the kids about their dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every scene she's in, she's just killing it.
Really, really, really good stuff. Redemption for Rohan Campbell after being the worst part of the new Halloween trilogy. And having just a gnarly ass death, too. Just fucking gnarly. Like,
I also really enjoyed Elijah Wood as douche guy.
Yes.
Chloe said that she couldn't stop staring at his nipples because the nipples were accentuated on his shirt.
It was so good.
It's so funny. And then he challenges him to fight outside. Like, so great.
Dad of the year. That giant water bottle was fucking hysterical to me. Like, just stupid little things like that. I'm like, this movie is so good because it doesn't take itself too seriously.
This is the best movie of the year so far.
And I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's pretty
so far, Marina. Wait, what's above this one so far?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track. I've only seen like 28 movies, dude.
Did you give Companion one of the best movies of the year? So
no, I didn't.
The first one. That's the first one.
I didn't. All right, cool. This is the first one. The first one, because it goes Monkey Companion.
Okay.
That sounds like a really bad joke in there somewhere.
Monkey Companion.
The first.
Everybody wants a Monkey Companion.
Not after this movie. There's a bad sex
joke in there.
The opening though with the Adam Scott scene and just how
so
like
good.
Just how deadpan the harpoon going through the fucking and then coming back and it's also so deadpan good. It's just they're just staring at each other just like
you don't want the drum to go down.
I really love this film.
Yeah, I feel like that was the harpoon for me was like, okay, now I know I'm in for a ride with this movie. Like, this is going to be really funny. It's delightful.
I think you should see it in theaters.
Yes. Yeah. You need that level of gore has to be on a giant, like, 8-foot high screen.
Yeah.
It has to.
Yeah. To see a realtor cut in two by two double-barrel shotguns has to be done.
I still the sleeping bag. The sleeping bag.
Still, yeah.
The unzipping of it.
Yeah, I love that Osgood like saved the goriest death for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Those sideburns were just a choice. I loved it.
The whole wardrobe, the glasses, the shirt, everything about it. I loved it.
You know, it was just like so meticulously picked by him. He is just that kind of a dude.
Well, yeah, and he didn't have to put himself in his movie, but I love that he did.
Yeah.
I really like how it feels. Like for a long time, you're like, what period are we even in? Like, it's not clear, like what time period it is. And I kind of love that. I just think it actually makes it feel like this will play really well into the future because you just don't know.
It felt 80s to me.
It really did.
Like, especially like the hamburger phone.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like all the little details. It was definitely like the throwback to, I mean, when King was writing this, right? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Skeleton Crew would be 82, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Has Stephen King talked about this film?
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
Did he? Okay, good.
Yeah, he enjoyed this one. Yeah. Although his scariest movie of the year is a film with John Lithgow that I just watched the trailer for it today. It's him and Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, it was the opening film of Fantastic Fest.
The Rule of Jenny Penn. Yeah, have you heard anything?
Yeah, I heard it's decent.
Okay, cool.
My friends who saw it at Fantastic Fest said it was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Apparently, Lithgow and Rush. That's a pretty solid cast.
In a retirement home. And it looks like Lithgow's like preying on every senior in the home.
Ooh, the Trinity strikes again.
Yeah, right? Before his prequel show. Eventually, I think you'll get a prequel show.
And then the final episode, the movie sucks.
No. That season was great, though.
That season was good.
That season's really solid, though.
So I guess we all liked it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. I love
general
that.
Consensus.
All thumbs up. All thumbs up for the monkey. Yeah. Even the one that lands in your mouth.
Yeah.
I like how you had to fish it out of there too. Like, yeah. It's great. I wish that part also, was a trailer, to be honest.
Can I just say the music in this movie is fucking amazing?
Yeah.
True. Like I kind of want the soundtrack. Like, yep. It's great.
No, I love it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Also, I really like how he subverts horror tropes, because there's a scene where Hal as a kid walks in and sits down on his bed and then turns and looks over his shoulder, and you know what he's looking at, and then they cut to the monkey and it does that huge like thing, and he's like back to Christian Convery and he's like, Mom, did you put that creepy monkey in my room? It's like undercuts it all, and I'm like, oh, I love this.
Oh, and the grand prize goes to Theo James's the second brother haircut, which is that whole outfit is just insane.
I like
so weird.
The mullet,
like the outfit as a whole is just the weirdest thing.
I love that with the bowling ball, you can see his ears behind the bowling ball and the mullet. It's so great. Detail.
Yeah.
I love it. So that was the monkey.
Cool. Should we talk about the three things that I've seen this month?
Go for it. Go for right. it.
Well, you guys already reviewed it, but I watched The Gorge. Holy fuck, that movie unravels like toilet paper as soon as it gets to a certain point. Like, basically, like, just after they get in the gorge, it just all falls apart. The first thing is, like, the janks of the janks from CG with one of the mutant guys that I was like, oh no. And then it just got worse and worse and worse, to the point that it's less about any of the mystery of the gorge or why they're there or how long this project's been going on. It's more just escaping and having love story resolution. And I was just like, I don't care about either of those things.
I was so bored by it. All I could think about was, holy crap, Miles Teller has more ammo than Chow Yun Fat and Hard Boiled here. Like, he is just
so much, so much
things.
Yeah, so much, and it becomes quite ridiculous. And Sigourney Weaver, like, holy, like, I'm gonna grab my paycheck and leave. Just wow. So yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one. I watched One of Them Days with Kiki Palmer and SZA, and I fucking loved this movie. This was so much fun. It was a harken back to like those Friday movies from like the 90s and everything. Just like present the problem and an odyssey of everything getting fucked up. And Kiki Palmer has charisma. She has more charisma than her body has room for. Like, she is just exuding it at all times. Some of my favorite line deliveries come from this film. Like when her landlord answers the door, knocks at the door, and she opens up. She's like, oh, hey, you're looking very alopecious today. And I just, the way she delivered that line, I almost died. And SZA is phenomenal. I really hope that she continues doing comedy, because she is so funny in this film, and you feel their friendship immediately. And so I really adored this movie. It's an absolute delight to watch. And then I was not looking forward to this film at all. Last week's big movie was Last Breath. It's the narrative debut of a director named Alex Parkinson, who made a Netflix documentary called The Last Breath in 2019, basically about a deep sea diver along the oil lines in I believe it's the North Sea. Who is trapped down there underwater without air for over 5 minutes. And this movie, the tension, that survival, keep you on the edge of your seat, is all really good and all incredibly shot. Like, I'm still astounded how they executed this film, but everything of the melodrama just kind of falls flat. It doesn't really work. I think because you have a great actor in Woody Harrelson delivering some of it, but then you have actors that try really hard to emote beyond their stoicness, like Simu Liu, and just can't quite seem to do it. And then Finn Cole from Peaky Blinders, who really doesn't have a lot. He's very much a blank slate at all times. So it's a good thing that he's like the diver that's like trapped at the bottom of the ocean for most of it without any dialogue, because that kind of is okay, but wasn't bad. I thought it was really weird. There's an actress, Miana Baring, who plays one of the, she plays the first officer on the ship that's anchoring the belt that has these divers in it. The only thing I know her from is The Witcher. So I forgot what her name is in The Witcher, but I was, what's her name again? I'm going to look it up here. Oh yeah. She's Tisaya DeVries. She's like one of the big elder characters in it who just got killed off in the last season. And I only recognize her in that, like kind of like almost Games of Thrones-y type of way. So when I saw her like in a normal way, I was like, is that who the, nah, is that? I guess it is. But then when the credits came up, oh, it is her. But yeah, it was okay. It kind of surprised me. But that's it. That's honestly all I've seen. Yesterday I watched, because I was sick, I watched From Russia with Love. But I've seen that so many times, so I can't really bring that as a review.
I didn't see that movie because it looked very January to me.
It does. It does. Yeah. And that was my big trepidation of it. I wasn't going to buy a ticket for it, and then Elevation sent me a screener for it. So I was, okay, fine.
Nice.
I'll watch it then. No problem.
I'll watch it in 12 days when it's on VOD.
That's probably the window.
Yeah.
My plane watched on the way back from LA was Pride and Prejudice, because why not? We had planes without an entertainment system. So on the way down, I did work. And on the way back, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch something that I downloaded. So I had downloaded Pride and Prejudice. So that's what I watched. And I watched the Blackpink documentary Light Up the Sky, which is also on Netflix. And it's pretty good. It's not bad. I mean, it's nothing new, but there's some like deep cut footage of the ladies from their training days, like from 10 years ago, which is kind of impressive because it's amazing to see how far they've come. I like Blackpink a lot. No issues with them being super successful. Now, if they would only play a show close enough that I could actually go and see them live, I would be thrilled. But that is a discussion for another day. The only other things I saw, Love Me. Kristen Stewart is a gem. She is so hot in this movie. I can't begin to tell you how amazingly good looking she is. it's like there are no words. There are no words for how great she looks in this movie. She is also super talented.
Prettiest buoy. The prettiest buoy you've ever seen.
Oh, she's amazing. Like she, at one point she plays kind of like an influencer, I guess, for lack of a better word. And it's just, you just have to see it to believe it. This movie is not good. It's not good. It's too long. The concept is interesting. It basically only is of any interest because Kristen Stewart and Steven Yeun have amazing chemistry. It's a really great concept for like a short movie that is like 2 hours long. It's so long and it just loses steam. There's maybe like 10 minutes of like really good material. I say skip it. It's just not worth the time. It's not great in any way, shape, or form. I caught up with Companion, which I thought was fine. I don't understand why everybody's up in arms about this movie, because I thought it was okay at best. Is that like...
We liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I know you guys liked it a lot. I don't get it. I thought it was fine. I just didn't think it was that interesting.
The German scene. I love the German scene so much.
That's probably the best scene.
Because she can't lie.
Because she can't lie. She just starts speaking in German.
Okay, I'm going to quickly do the switch. And
yeah. Like there's some like funny bits. And I think like the concept is interesting, but it also feels really like not new. And perhaps it's because the trailer gives it away. Like, I can't put my finger on it. I thought the performances were good and I thought it was fine. That's it. It's fine. Like I think I rated it a 3. I thought it was okay at best. I took one for the team. I didn't really. I just had an interest in seeing it. I watched Kind of Pregnant. It's bad. It's as bad as it looks. It's just, I don't know how in 2025, like in 2020, clearly this got greenlit in 23. Somebody made it in 24. It came out now. How is this new? It's just bad all around.
Is it as bad as I Feel Pretty? I walked out of I Feel Pretty, so.
No, I don't think it's that egregious. I don't think it's as egregious. It just feels so, like, I expect more from Amy Schumer, who seems, like, she's a woman. She seems to be with the flow of things. Like, she clearly gets what's the issue. I don't know why she would, like, agree to make this. It's so stupid. I think it's not even saying anything.
Netflix money.
That, and there's a Zionist film over her brain.
There's something going on.
Choking it out.
It's not funny. The concept is old and tired, and there's nothing new here. It's just bad.
That's the thing to say about Amy Schumer and a lot of things that she says. There's nothing new here.
But, like, it's not even funny. Sadly.
Did like she the steal concept jokes? Isn't
no like the concept no
no it's well, not a Dane Cook movie
I don't know yeah. that I mean I don't know enough of her comedy to know one way or the other. It's just not funny, and the concept is just not funny. It's just kind of stupid. So I don't know. I feel stupider for watching it, but there you go. And then somebody recommended Marrowbone because it had all of these people in it. I'm like, how did this movie, like, I totally missed this.
Yeah, from, it's like Charlie Heaton and Mia Goth and fucking
yeah,
like,
just and like George McKay and Anya Taylor-Joy. It's not bad. It's actually, I thought it was pretty interesting.
It got buried.
It did get buried in a big way. Like, it's one of these, like, European, because it's made by a Spaniard, so it kind of feels a little bit like, I think the story gets a little muddled. It doesn't fully work. But I mean, I think for me, it was worth it just for the performances. Like, it's a roster of, like, super talented young talent that are really good. The movie's just kind of mediocre. But
Sergio Sanchez wrote The Orphanage.
Yep.
And The Impossible.
Yep.
Wow.
It's an interesting concept, but I think it just gets lost. Like, the ideas get lost in, like, the supernatural elements, which I don't think really work. But the performances are really good. It feels like a really twisted The Secret Garden, to be totally honest. That's what I was thinking of when I was watching it. But it was fun to see this. Like, Anya Taylor-Joy hasn't aged in however many, it's been, what, like 10 years since this movie came out. She looks exactly the same. It's crazy. Like, it's just crazy. But yeah, I thought it was okay. I have seen nothing else, guys. It's like a dark cloud of just nothingness.
Well, I have one movie and some TV. That's about it.
Oh, well, I want to hear this TV comeback.
I had something
to do with this.
Yeah, mea culpa, mea culpa. I don't know how I missed this movie, but then I found out it came out during VIFF, so that's why I missed it. It's called Things Will Be Different. Any you guys heard of this one? Mm-hmm. So it's directed by a guy named Michael Felker. It's about two bank robbers who, trying to get away from the cops, decide that they're going to take the advice of one of their friends and use their time machine to go back in time and hide from the cops for 2 weeks to let the fuzz, you know, get away from them. And it's produced by Benson and Moorhead.
So nice. Hell yes.
That should be enough right there.
Absolutely.
It feels like a Benson and Moorhead movie from, like, 15 years ago with less of a budget, if you can imagine.
How is that possible? They had no money. I don't know.
I'm thinking of The Endless right now. I'm like, really? Less budget than that one?
So there's like people talk to each other from the past and the future and from different. Yeah.
Okay. I see the poster. I started this and got very confused and turned it off 15 minutes in, so thinking I need time to concentrate on this movie. So I haven't finished it.
So yeah, the special effects budget is this. The people from the past and the future talk to each other via a Walkman. I'm not joking. It's a Walkman. That's how they talk to each other. That's the budget. It's good. It just falls apart in the end, and it's pretty convoluted. If you have a problem with Benson and Moorhead films, this is probably not the film for you, because it pretty much is a Benson and Moorhead film. I kind of dug it because I like Benson and Moorhead films. That being said, the last act is kind of a mess, which kind of sucks. But
I've stopped trying to understand Benson and Moorhead, and like just in general, I just go in and enjoy it. I've stopped trying to figure out exactly what they're going for, because half the time I just don't get it.
Oh man, the last movie
that's just the reality of it.
When it was all like mathematic equations on the screen, they're doing like all this. I'm like, stop.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, it's not bad. It's if you like a cool little like indie sci-fi film, you'll probably dig it. But yeah,
can I jump for 1 second? Yeah. Speaking of Benson and Moorhead, before I jump off of it, I did watch all of Daredevil: Born Again, which is produced by them.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. Oh, and since we're still on this tangent, if you're into like lo-fi science fiction, Coherence is now streaming. Fucking watch that movie.
That movie rules.
That movie rules. It will, like, it's so good. It'll bend your mind. It's so good. But it's now available to stream, so.
I enjoy my way, way, way out of print Blu-ray of that once a year.
So good. Yeah. So, 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 so good.
All right. So Marina was talking with us a little couple of minutes ago. Last episode, I said I was done with Paradise because they did something really stupid. And I still stand by that.
And I called bullshit.
Okay, I still stand by it. But and I don't like the way they kind of fixed it, but whatever, they kind of fixed it. And then the next episode was maybe the best episode of television I've seen in the last couple of years.
I texted Bill and I'm like, dude, you fucked up. You need to watch Paradise. And thankfully he listened to me this time.
So yeah, episode 7 of Paradise is absolutely incredible.
It might be one of the best episodes of TV of the last like 5 years at least.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's just they're doing that. Okay. Yep. Oh shit. It's even bigger than it's big. Oh shit. I just kept on saying oh shit a lot. it's really good. And Sterling K. Brown for everything. He's pretty damn good in that show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll take credit for it.
At least I'm here to say that I'm sorry. The White Lotus has been good but not great.
It's only been 3 episodes, dude. Give it time. No,
it's only 7 episodes. So it's been good. I'm really enjoying Parker Posey just being absolutely cringe at times.
She is so great on that show.
Making me laugh like crazy. And
using her own planet. I love it.
Patrick Schwarzenegger's asshole character is quite fun. And the Queen Carrie Coon's on there. So
that's the Queen. Cool.
The Queen.
Yeah, she queen really is the Queen.
Making the King, Tracy Letts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The King of all media.
Hell yes.
Or the of all physical media. He could be the Queen's consort.
I could go with that.
I think that was a misquote from the WTF episode. I think she meant open-minded in like speaking, like an open relationship in that they can speak to each other. They can say whatever to each other. I think she was misquoted.
The last couple episodes of Invincible have been pretty cool. Last episode was really good, about a guy who family got killed and he kind of lost his mind and went after Invincible. It was quite a good episode. Nice. Still a really good show. I don't quite know why Maria doesn't like it. She should probably give it another try, just like I did with Paradise. This season of Reacher is not good.
No,
it's just something is missing. I don't know what it is, but there's not enough ass kicking and there's just not a very good story. I'm not liking it at all, which is too bad because I kind of like that show. It's just a fun show, but the season hasn't been good. Severance is still really fucking incredible. God damn. the last episode about Gemma, his wife, was absolutely heartbreaking at times. Just an incredible show. Everybody I know tells me it's too hard to follow, and I just don't get that. Just pay attention, you idiots. But yeah, that's about it for me. Not a lot of movies in theaters. It's been pretty bad.
But we get Mickey 17 this week.
Yes. There's actually a lot of movies opening. Yep. So we should have a pretty good show next time.
Miss Melissa, do you have anything you want to?
Yeah, I've got a couple. So I finally caught up with Thelma, which was delightful. And we missed in our little recap of the Oscars, maybe the best joke of the entire night was June Squibb standing up on stage saying that Bill Skarsgård was playing her now.
And she's at home reading or something.
The big three.
Yeah.
Love
Pennywise,
it.
Nosferatu, and June Squibb, the big three.
Yeah. it was delightful. I really loved how they filmed sort of her Mission Impossible type scenes where she's like rolling over the bed and like stepping over lamps and like all these things that are huge obstacles when you're 90 something years old. But yeah, it was great. And also Shaft.
Yeah, Richard Roundtree, final role.
Like
final performance. Beautiful.
It was lovely to see him, and it was lovely to watch their interplay. I thought they had really great chemistry.
Especially, do you know this person? No, it turns out we don't know each other at all.
Yeah.
Melissa liked a Fred Hechinger movie.
Yeah, of course. I have no problems with Fred. Fred was the best part of Gladiator 2.
Not good at math.
The math rant in Thelma is hilarious.
It is really funny.
He's delightful in Thelma and one of the producers, which I thought was interesting too. That movie was great. It's streaming. People should watch it if you haven't already. And you can watch it with your grandma. It's probably absolutely be a good time.
It's a grandma watch movie for sure.
Yeah. What else did I see? I also watched Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, because I needed to know who was right, Bill or Marina. And I will say, Bill is right about Renee Zellweger's accent, because it is pretty atrocious. But Marina was right in that it's a fun watch.
Oh.
Nice.
I mean, it's playing for a specific audience, mostly Gen X women. And that's fine. And I thought there were some nice kind of poignant bits in there about grief. That resonated. It was not a terrible movie. It wasn't terrible. Also, wasn't terrible to see her kind of rebound with Leo Woodall. Because I'll take any amount of love scenes featuring Leo Woodall in any film, frankly. So
and Hugh Grant tells kids how to make a martini called the Dirty Bitch.
I think that's so funny to me. I love it.
Yeah, old Daniel Cleaver is pretty amusing, and I like how their relationship evolved, like how Bridget and Daniel Cleaver's relationship evolved.
Daniel's like my favorite character through all the movies.
Yeah,
I love Daniel.
It's quite lovely, and it's interesting how he cares about her kids, and I don't know. I thought it was kind of charming. Is it the greatest movie of all time? No. Is it the best Bridget Jones movie? No. But is it like kind of a fun movie to watch when you just need something that you don't have to think about too much? Yeah.
Watch Hackers instead.
Well, yeah, you should always watch Hackers, but
I have a Hacker story for after. Remind me to share it with you guys. It's pretty funny.
And then it's been kind of a slow couple weeks for movies for me because I fell down the Yellowstone rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
And I've been like sort of hate watching it for like the last 2 weeks.
I hate watched that movie, that show too. I don't like it, but I still watched 5 seasons of it.
I know, I couldn't stop because they dropped the first 4 seasons on Netflix. And then I signed up for a free trial of Paramount Plus just so I could watch the last season, which was horrible after Kevin Costner left.
I haven't even bothered. I honestly haven't even bothered.
It's such a massive repivot and does nothing.
Yeah,
I assumed really as much. I didn't even bother. Yeah.
It was really bad, but like the whole show was really bad, but it was like for something to watch that you could like my partner and I would just make fun of it the entire episode, like all the things that didn't make sense, all of the like ridiculous, like toxic masculinity. So, like all of the weird romancing of cowboys, all of the times that Taylor Sheridan featured himself riding horses. like it's so completely pornographic. It's I really feel like I'm watching Taylor Sheridan jack off right now. Like it's so much footage of him riding a horse in a circle. I'm just like, okay, dude, we get it. You're
that final horse season. Rider. Then don't watch the first couple episodes of Lioness then, because he's prominent in that one too. Oh, yeah.
Well, and but what killed me was, I think the last season there's like he actually like throws in an advertisement for his ranch, because looking up the beef sales on his website, and I was like, oh my god, Taylor, like come on.
The 4.6 is his ranch.
I didn't know. I actually didn't know.
Yeah. The 4.6 is his actual ranch. Yeah.
That's when Beth starts looking up online how she can order beef from the 4.6s. And I was like, oh my God.
That's his actual. Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, how many idiots went onto that website after and ordered a side of beef from this egomaniac?
Not me.
The whole thing about hate watching is real. Like, all I could think about the final season was, oh my god, Beth, just fucking kill Jamie. Please.
She's the best part of that entire show.
Yeah, but she's also like certified. Like, it's such a weird, like, okay, it's, what is it when it's Manic Pixie Dream Girl, but like cowboy style? Like, what is it? It's not Manic Pixie. It's Manic something.
Yeah.
Manic psychotic.
Maybe.
But like, she's not like a real person. That is not a real person. That is a really weird.
A real person doesn't be like, hey, cowboy, sing me a sad song, and then cry and gyrate as he's playing a sad song. What the fuck is that?
Well, the last two seasons became like a music video. Like, there was like a concert in every fucking episode. I don't understand what's going on at this point. But, but yeah, I don't know. I couldn't stop watching it, but it was mostly to mock it.
There are so many better shows to watch.
Maybe, but I mean, there was hours of entertainment of mocking that show. So. Yeah. And at least it ended with land back.
True.
That's true.
I haven't
in the most backwards way possible. Because even that for whole first season about how it's never going back to them.
Yeah.
The whole last half of that season 5 to finish off the season completely forgets everything before it and just tries to wrap things up.
Maybe he was making amends for hiring a pretendian to play Kelsey's wife.
Yeah, she's really Filipino or something, I think.
She's Taiwanese.
Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. They made her cry in every episode. Like, she's just going to walk off and cry for some reason. Where's Monica? I don't know. She's somewhere crying.
Well, and all of a sudden gave up being a teacher.
Yeah. And they never
explained it.
There is a point where they were focusing on her character. I think the last time they focused on her character, she was helping bust some indigenous woman murderer. Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. She went through like a PTSD moment, and then they're just like, all right, that's enough out of you. Fuck you for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Because I think they were banking. I think Taylor Sheridan was banking on Casey and Monica being the big love story that fans would jump on. And that's what they're really hoping for the first little bit. And then they realized, no. The fans aren't jumping on that. They're jumping on Rip and Beth. That's who they want.
No, but let's be real. We're getting that TV show, too. We're getting both.
We are getting that TV show. Yeah, but no, I think they did want to spin Casey and Monica off into a show.
We're getting a Casey and Monica show next year, probably.
I fucking hope not. How boring would that be?
Oh, it would be so boring and milquetoast.
So boring. Ugh.
It's about probably going to happen, though.
About how their kid is aging 6 years every season. And
yeah. I know I've said this before, but I don't want the badge for the fourth time.
Oh my god!
he's the one that has the most morals, but he's also murdered like so many people.
I know, I know. They keep forget. They forget where their straws are all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because he's writing all those writers. Shows.
Yeah. I would have thought that Taylor Sheridan would have learned a bit from Kurt Sutter. And also in how not to do things, but he didn't. He learned exactly how to be Kurt Sutter.
Yes. Yeah, he really did. This felt like such a ripoff of some Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. Just such a ripoff.
Yeah. And then one that the guy couldn't even fucking finish. He'd rather, Kevin Costner would rather ruin his entire life than finish that show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what it came down to. He just fucking cratered his entire life to not finish that show.
I like how Horizon Part 2 is screened at film festivals now.
Like a year ago.
No, like it played a festival like in LA last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Lionsgate doesn't want distro on it then, yeah. Right? Oh, buddy.
Now he's hoping Netflix will let him make part 3 and 4.
There's a fourth? I thought it was only going to be 3. Oh.
No, part 3 and 4.
I have much love, but no thanks.
First movie is so fucking boring.
I haven't even bothered, to be honest.
It's so boring.
The trailer is just...
He couldn't get you to care about a character in that film if he came and personally paid you to do it.
I mean, I realize it's, you know, problematic. I fully, fully understand that. I still will take Dances with Wolves any day of the week.
I still have a soft spot for Waterworld.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that is like the go-to if we're going to be talking about like, and Prince of Thieves is fucking classic, but you know.
Only because of Alan Rickman, though.
I love Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman is very good in that movie, but everybody in that movie is chef's kiss. I love that movie.
So that is
that's it. Sorry, ending on the Yellowstone note. It's pretty
okay. Let me share the story about hackers. So I was at a conference pre-planning with a lot of nerds, like a lot of nerds, and we had had a couple of drinks at the end of the night, and so we were talking about phones. Like at some point, somebody was talking about like old like home phones that are plugged into the wall, and so. They're talking about like the power, how much voltage is in these things. Like this is how the conversation started because nerds. And then somebody says, "Oh, well, don't you remember in the 80s where you could, you know, you could dial by tone?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like in fucking Hackers." And they're like, "Oh, what?" I'm like in Hackers. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm sorry. How many of you have not seen Hackers? Half of the room hadn't seen Hackers. Like, oh, how do this many nerds have not seen Hackers? So I've proposed the next time we do a group meeting, I'm like, we are making time to watch Hackers as a group as part of a team building exercise. Mm-hmm.
to be fair, it is a film about rollerblading.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Sure. But that's my hacker story. I'm still in shock. Still in shock, but yes. Okay, so what's coming?
Mickey Friends. 17. Mickey yeah. 17.
That's Mickey I 17. Think that's the right choice.
No, do you guys know what In Lost Lands is?
No.
Paul W. S.
Oh no 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 no! Didn't that movie get pushed to December?
Mila Jovovich.
No, no. I'm squashing this right now.
Dave Bautista.
This is like bringing Monster Hunter as our listen, movie of the week. It's not going to fucking happen.
Martin said,
yeah, George R. R. Martin.
But he has said it's like the greatest adaptation of his work. He is like behind this 100%.
The only thing you were moving forward on me for was Dave Bautista. Everything's been moving backwards here, Bill. Every time you say something new, I've been moving backwards into retreat of fuck that movie. So I don't know. That's where we are.
I was hoping you would react that way.
No.
Yeah.
No way in hell. No way in hell.
Well, that is definitely the movie of the week then.
Yeah. Mickey 17, which is probably going to be the film. Yeah.
You know it's going to be the film. It has to be the film.
I would hope so.
It's Wong and Arpats together at last.
Yep.
You said Arpats. I'm like, there.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Seven Veils at VIFF 2 years ago?
Nope.
Yeah,
It's finally opening.
I saw that. I did not like it.
Yeah.
They really want me to know that it's opening. I get an email every day.
Elevation. Kate's like, did you know this movie? I'm like, Kate, you knew I saw it when I saw it. Stop it.
Yeah, there's a reason I think it's been delayed. So that's March 7th. March 14th.
Hold on, Queen of the Ring. It's coming out.
You're not getting that. I didn't say it because you're not getting it.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what that is.
It's a wrestling movie.
Mildred Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Original female wrestler. Tony Storm is in it.
March 14th, Black Bag.
Yes.
Steven Soderbergh.
Good. Yes. You said hope I get that here. Hope I get that here.
Couple of big actors in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's all about Soderbergh.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it's a good Soderbergh movie. Cha-ching. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I'm against Bill on that one, too.
Yeah.
I know Marina's seen this, and I've seen it, too. The Day the Earth Blew Up, the Looney Tunes movie.
It's so Ketchup is bringing it out, right?
It's so good.
It is so, so good. So, so good. Look at this smile. This is the smile of somebody that loves this movie. It's so good.
Novocaine.
Yes, Nathan Kane, played by Jack Quaid. He cannot feel pain.
Yeah. Crank for the new generation.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's charming enough to keep me into it. If he's nice guy Jack the whole time, like, I'm okay with this. This will be fun.
I didn't know this was a musical. This kind of freaks me out, but Opus opens.
This looks insane.
It does look insane.
I didn't know it was a musical, though. That freaks me out.
It freaks me too, but Ayo Edebiri will bring me into any movie.
Wait, it's a musical?
Yeah. Well, Malkovich is like this recluse musician.
I've seen the trailer a couple of times. I didn't realize it was like a legit musical.
That's what the poster says.
Okay, that might not happen for me then. I was already kind of iffy on the trailer, so.
Yeah. Speaking of iffy, Netflix has the new Russo Brothers film called The Electrical State with Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt.
Who is failing at life right now. Failing at the movies. I shouldn't say failing at life. Failing at the movies.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
No. No. The trailer is terrible.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch that on a plane beside Melissa. Like, that's not even that's just awful.
But I mean, hasn't Marvel paid the Russos like a shit ton of money to come back to
the
cinematic universe? Just go back at this point. I just don't fucking care anymore. Like, I'm beyond caring about all of these big ass movies that I'm supposed to care about.
So not the Paul W.S. Anderson film.
Oh, okay. I think we should totally go with that.
did any of you guys see the trailer for Bring Her Back?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to, but I haven't watched it.
So it played before my screening of The Monkey tonight, and it looks really
good. Oh, yeah. That looks insane.
It's like the Talk to Me people with Sally Hawkins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
The trailer is just fucking crazy. It's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I'm excited for that.
And I love that it's a trailer that you actually don't know what's going on. Like, it doesn't tell you the whole fucking story in the trailer.
It doesn't actually tell you anything.
Yeah. It just gives you snippets of things that you're like, oh, I have no idea what this is, but now I want to watch it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That looks great. I thought Bill was frozen.
I was just looking at the sheet. There's nothing else related. Steve doesn't get stuff, so
yeah. We get the Canadian release of Can I Get a Witness on the 14th as well.
Can I get a witness?
I have more to say about that. I'll leave it to my my outro stuff.
Excellent.
Nice.
So Mickey 17 it is.
Yeah, sir.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. It's a date, guys. It's happening.
I'm just so happy it's at finally coming out. Like,
I know.
This has just been a while.
Yeah.
I am concerned, I have to admit, but I think it'll be okay.
I'm just, my only concern is just that Warner Brothers had no idea what to do with it.
Well,
I don't think it's with the film itself. I think it's with marketing and being like, I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about this, so I'm just curious. Has anybody heard about if this is actually like Bong's cut? Like, they didn't
know. That I don't know.
No idea.
Well, I hope they let him do his thing because he's got a pretty damn good track record.
It'd be stupid to fuck with it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't think they're going to Snowpiercer him again.
I hope not.
Not after Parasite.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, at this point, like, if they were going to have to, I mean, clearly they didn't know how to market this. Like, why bother, like, going in and doing an edit if you already, like, you've already spent the money. The people that are going to see it are going to see it. The people that aren't going to see it are not going to see it just because you edited it a different way. So, I don't know. But I guess we'll wait. We'll have to wait to see, because we know marketing people really know what they're doing.
Yeah, but like, it's a good trailer. Like, I don't understand why people are like saying it's like it's weird. Like, I thought the trailer sold the movie really well.
And I think it's Pattinson's accent. I think people are weirded out by it.
Like it's not the Claire Denis film. Like it's like it looks good. Like. Yeah, I understand why, but they might not want to, you know, Julia Binoche in the fuck box.
I love that movie, though. I really do. I love that movie.
I think it's great, too. So
people who are listening, I'm not joking. There's something in that film called the fuck box.
The fuck box.
Yeah.
But what was it called? What was that movie called again?
High Life.
High Life.
Yes. Yeah. It's good. Go see it. But it's weird.
Yes. Warning.
Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know. At this point, it's just like all a blur, guys. All right. What else? Okay. I guess we picked our movie. Where can people find you? Like, I'm totally at a loss at this point. Sorry.
Okay. I am Bill Harris. I am on Blue Sky at that Bill Harris. I seem to never post on there, but I never posted on Twitter either. So it's fine. And I'm on Letterboxd at SoundJam69. I still do Letterboxd wrong. I don't care. Thank you.
You can also find me on Blue Sky at the Marina and on Letterboxd at the Marina. And I'm waiting for Frames to come out on a device that's not an Apple device so I can actually use it. Until then, that's the only places you can find me.
And the only place you can find me is on Letterboxd at Melzy. And now take it away, Steve, with all of your professional credits.
I am on Letterboxd, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at the Steeple Dad. You can find my website, stevestebbing.ca. I do a show there every week with my daughter called What the Hell Should I Watch? And if you check out this week, my YouTube page, you will see Chloe's first interview is going to be conducted this week and edited and put out. She's going to be conducting an interview with Anne-Marie Fleming and Woo! Kira Jang.
Nice.
So that's going to be probably a 25-minute interview she's doing with them. So that will be available soon for everybody to check out. I'm also on Shane Hewitt and the Night Shift every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Toronto's News Talk 1010, found on the iHeartRadio network. And that's it.
Awesome.
I hope Chloe keeps her composure, because I saw her after that screening and that was.
Yeah, I also asked Bonnie, the rep for Mongrel, for the screener again so she could watch it a bunch more times. And
nice.
It's her number one movie of last year. So she's very excited to do this, a bit nervous. But I'm just like, hey, just tell them it's your first interview, too. I think they'll have a kick with that, too.
Yeah. Anne-Marie is a lovely human being, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, so I'm sure it'll be good.
You can find links to all of the things we talked about today, most of them at etcpod.ca. And until next time,
hack the planet.
Bye.